My name is Aaron Ryan. And you know, there's some guy named Bill Cundiff who's supposed to be on this show, but he seems to be outside the studio at the moment. And he is unaware the show has begun. Oh, you know, I don't know what the deal is. You know, you gotta watch him every minute. And so let's see, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. And if Bill doesn't say something, I'm going to do it for him.
Oh, hi there.
Oh, look, it's Bill.
Oh, yeah, I got hung up. I was in high level meeting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm in a high-level meeting you. I gave you the bad chair just as punishment.
Yeah, okay. Well, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Go up and see them. They got everything in stock. They got a great inventory right now. You want to see tractors, implements, mowers. They even just took on the Ego brand of electric lawn care equipment, so they're going to have zero-turn mowers, riders, push mowers, weed whackers, chainsaws, everything electric. Thank you, California. So they'll have a full line of electric products here in the very near future ready for you. Go up and see them. They'll make you a great deal. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or you can catch them on the web at PapeMachinery.com. There you go. That's the latest, greatest.
Well, nice save, Bill. We weren't sure you were going to get in here in time.
I'm a trained professional.
That's fun. So today's January 21st, 2024, and it kind of feels like it's last week, only because we almost were having like the same thing, which is sort of funny. I think Sharon was just screwing with us. She didn't answer the first time the engineer called. It's like, no, wait, it's happening again. Oh, my goodness. So, all of the prelude. Last week we talked about all this stuff. So, she is the with the Women's Liberation Front. Easy for me to say. It is acronymed WOLF. WOLF, so it's the Women's Liberation Front. I didn't even know there was a Women's Liberation Front. How bad is that? But I have to confess. She's a nonprofit and government relations expert with 2 decades of advocacy leadership experience, brings to WOLF vital community building experience and connections, currently serves as the president of the Santa Barbara United Nations Association, and served as a delegate to the UN Conference on the Status of Women and Generation Equality Forums. Sharon's the author of multiple published articles on women's rights, including an op-ed in The Independent revealing the insidious presence of human tracking in Santa Barbara. She also serves on the board of the Santa Barbara Women's Health Coalition and has been a vocal advocate for women's reproductive sovereignty. She was awarded the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office Exceptional Civilian Award in 2023 for her work with the Montecito Association in reducing gang violence, preventing human trafficking, and pioneering a model to end homelessness in the county. She holds a master's in psychology, a bachelor's degree in management and economics, and a certificate in human rights consulting from the International Institute for Human Rights. She joined WOLF as the executive director in 2023. And just to let you know how small the world is, one of her friends in Santa Barbara had property up at Copco Lake and was a lady I worked with a lot on trying to stop the dam removal. And so through those connections, she's like, hey, I have this friend. And I was like, oh, I have been dying to talk about this issue for like ever, and I never get to because no one will ever come on. And she said, well, my friend Sharon will. And then, then we had that little situation last week where she wound up in the emergency room at 11:30. Right before the show, she couldn't get in and out of the emergency room in a half an hour. I was shocked because...
Yeah, what kind of health care? What kind of health care is that?
I go to the emergency room, man, I'm in and out of there. Oh, my God, everyone knows that doesn't happen. At least it wasn't 2 o'clock in the morning, Sharon, because then you would have been in there forever. You would have still been in there. Oh, we're glad you're better. And that we were able to track you down. You and I had a long chat yesterday, too, which is usually bad because then we talk about everything and then we forget to talk about it on the radio. But anyway, it was fun chatting.
I don't think that's going to be the problem.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we got a lot of material. So I don't know where you want to start with all of this, but you can kind of fire us in whatever direction you'd like to go, because this is a very, very broad topic.
Okay, if you want to specifically talk.
Are we allowed to say broad? Is that one of your banned words? I was just thinking, because in our office, you're not allowed to say collaboration. You're not allowed to use any of the commie words.
Nice.
And I'm like, Wolf, can you say broad? Okay. Anyway.
Pretty much say whatever we want, right? So we're proud that's after women's self-sovereignty.
But, nice. You know, so, I might need to be a member now. You're kind of quiet. Can you go closer to your microphone a teensy bit?
I think so, or I could switch the microphone. Let's see if switching the microphone makes it better.
Let's see.
Does that work better?
I don't know.
That's much better.
That is better.
Okay, then.
You were small and far away.
Yeah, I won't do that far away thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so... you want to talk specifically, I think, about, and I don't think most people even know it under this term, gender ideology, right?
Wow. We have been looking for somebody to talk about the whole gender ideology. So, if you want to just launch right there, then that's good with us. Because that is just a minefield.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's so interesting the way that it's all sort of become very insidious, right? Actually, it's interesting. The story starts in the United States, then moves to the United Kingdom, and then moves back to the United States and Canada, which we now call Trinada.
Trinada.
Who are extremely upset about the situation, call it Trinada. Yeah, so I guess way back in the Obama administration days, there were some executive orders, right, that were sort of pushed through that not many people paid attention to, but basically established some inroads to allowing more sort of transgenderism. And I think it would be really instructive at this point if you trot out that definition that we played with yesterday, right, that, you know, what's being done here is a bit of word play where... For years and years and years, many of us have known that there were male and female sex, right? And we were consistent with it and good with it. Even the United Nations uses the word gender interchangeably with sex. Like when they talk about gender equality or gender inequality, they actually mean, you know, male-female sexual equality, right? That's actually what they mean.
Right.
But around the early 2010s in the Obama administration, this all started changing, and the word gender started being taken to mean something else. And that while sex was immutable, gender was not. And that you could change back and forth in your gender, and that you could feel like a woman today, you could feel like a man tomorrow, that, you know, your gender was somehow this unique, wild, distinctly distinct, you know, unique unicorn from your sex. And that you could play with your gender as much as you wanted and dress it up, dress it down, decide to be a they. Well, that started the use of pronouns. And at first, pronouns were kind of used on, forced on us in certain circles in terms of inclusivity. You know, we don't want to exclude anyone, so we all just use the proper pronouns. So, you know, a male could present to you and say, my pronouns are she, they. And you'd be like, what? You know, it's like, well, I feel like a woman today, but I'm non-binary and I'm not sure. So this started very much in universities, as you would imagine, you know, all kinds of sort of interesting places. And at first it was kind of lumped up under what had then been called the LGB, right? Lesbian, gay, bisexual, who were distinct and protected now as a class because they'd won gay marriage because of sexual orientation. It's protected in the law from being discriminated against because of sexual orientation. So someone of a transgender, as it's got to be called, got looked up under LGB who sort of didn't really get it and didn't understand why it went under them, because many of the trans, the people saying that they were transgender, men who felt like women today, they were not, you know, gay. They were actually very straight, right? So it was like, so why are you putting them with the people who weren't straight, right? And so a lot of LGB folks didn't like it, but some LGB orgs who worked themselves out of business, now we're going to shift to the UK, and Stonewall, who realized now that they've won gay marriage and they've won gay rights, really should have folded up shop and gone home. Oh, no. They found a whole new cause with a bunch of money tied to it. Push transgender. Push trans rights, trans vocabulary. Push it. And so a lot of these sort of things got inserted into the law, very much the way they did in the Obama administration's executive order, without any public debate. Without any congressional, you know, debate, nobody in Parliament debated this stuff, right? You know, just sort of got inserted into the law because these orgs were very close to elected officials, and elected officials would turn to them and say, what do I write, you know, to deal with this problem? What do I, what kind of bill should I pass, what kind of law should I pass, what should I propose in Parliament. So all of a sudden, all this language started getting inserted into law. So in the UK in the mid-2010s, there was a hell of a lot of this that got inserted, and there was something called the Gender Recognition Act that got passed, and that started the process of, if you wake up today, Aaron, and decide you're a guy, and you're in the UK, you can apply for a gender recognition certificate, and pretty much they'll get you a piece of paper, you can change your sex on your passport, you can change everything. So now in the UK, sex and gender have started to become the same thing, and are using the law very much the same way. And so that opened the door to access to bathrooms. So you can go into a woman's loo now, you know, as a man. Just say, I feel like a woman today, you know. And eventually, the UK started moving further and further away from even requiring a gender recognition certificate, and that you had to go through any paperwork, and you didn't have to go on hormones, you didn't have to do sex change operations, you didn't have to do any of that. All you had to do now is say you're transgender. So this is very interesting because back in the day, right, I would say 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, even early 2000s, most of us were familiar with transsexuals and transvestites, you know, and as you and I talked the other day, you know, transvestites are men who want to live in women's clothes, right, and sort of, you know, LARP about as women. And very often they are gay and they are in drag, right, that's very often what transvestites are. Transsexuals are people who go a step further and start doing the hormones, and they start looking at the surgeries, and it is an awful and terrible journey, I would imagine, and it really screws up the body. And there's sort of no way back once you've done it. It's really, you've altered yourself for life. But they were very, very rare, you know, extremely rare. You sort of never even saw them at first.
Yeah.
Right? They're very rare. And so what happened when transgender got introduced and it started becoming a protected class like LGB, all of a sudden, particularly amongst men, a bunch of men who like to cross-dress, and who got turned on by it are what we call autogynephiles, right? Now
they're called the what?
Autogynephile.
Okay.
Autogynephile. Yep, they get off sexually on dressing and playing at being women. They're not going to cut their penises off. They're not going to take hormones, but they get sexually turned on by this. So this used to be sort of closet fetish, right? If you like dressing in your wife, you know, stuff, nobody was supposed to know, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Now you can do this in public and you're legally protected. And in fact, if anyone misgenders you, it's a hate crime. It is completely flipped around. And most people are completely unaware unless they have that experience in public, right? Where they're told by a huge man that, I'm sorry, I'm a ma'am, right? You're like, what? You're still not a ma'am. You're a guy, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, now you're misgendering me. So, I mean, in the UK, this has gone so far south. It went so far south that they started debanking women who spoke up against it. They deplatformed them, had them Twitter before Elon Musk bought it, was famous for running women off that were yelling about this. Of course, all the feminists, a lot of the feminists raised hell about it. Other feminists supported it, which makes no sense to me, but they did, because a lot of times the money that was being given to your organization, like Planned Parenthood or GLAAD or Stonewall in the UK, you know, came with the condition of you will push trans. You will push it, that you will say things like trans women are women, and you will mean it. Okay, so what's a trans woman?
Yeah, yeah, that's the $64,000 question.
Okay, well, what do you understand them to be?
Okay.
Wait. What do most people think a trans woman is?
I always have to think about it. Okay, because it's like yes is no and no is yes. Okay, I know. How's this for cheating? Let's take a quick break.
Oh, nice.
No, it really it really is time. Yeah, I'm secretly going to look it up. No. But I have this great song, and so it's really probably, I think my answer might be my song. I might have been, like, sort of clairvoyant here when I picked the song a couple of minutes ago, and maybe that'll just clear it up for us, and we can have a little chuckle and then come back and chat with us some more. Our guest is Sharon Byrne. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
You may be wrong, but you may be right. You may be wrong, but you may be right.
You're probably wrong.
I'm probably wrong, but Bill was right.
Yeah.
Okay, so on the break we decided the answer was...
The question was, what's a trans woman? A trans woman, now I'm a knuckle dragger, but I think it's a man that dresses in women's clothes.
Or says they're a woman.
Or, yeah, and says they're a woman.
Yeah. Do we win?
But they are a man to start with. Is that what you,
right.
you're saying? A trans woman is a man to start with.
Yes.
And now identifies himself as a woman. Is that right?
Yes.
That is correct. Ding, ding, ding.
See,
that
there you go.
Dude,
there
looks like a lady was right. Yes.
Yep. Now, would you be surprised to know that a third of Britons do not know that transgender women were born male?
What?
Oh, you're kidding.
No, that's silly.
No. Broke away.
What?
Well, it's the marketing campaign, right? So the marketing campaign has been so good, and I would suspect that it's also been equally good in the United States, that a great many people somehow think that when you say you're trans, you're some mythical new third species of human.
What?
Right? And so they don't know. You know, they're like, I don't know. Is it a man? Is it a woman? I don't know. You know.
We got our unicorns, and we have our trans women. What?
Yeah. And what's bad about this, and why I'm curious, you know, why we watch this very closely in my organization, right, we want to see this go to the Supreme Court, basically, although they've botched it a couple times already, is that, you know, there's a lot of compelled think that's going on here, right? A lot of compelled thought that's required. So you're supposed to call a man in a dress a woman, not just a trans woman, but a woman. You're supposed to do that. You're not supposed to misgender them, but that's just a heinous and terrible offense. And some of that's getting written into employment law, like as we speak, right? That the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission put out the proposed regulations late last year that Wolf commented on heavily, basically forcing employers to police both their employees and their customers and make sure they never misgender anyone.
So what is their definition of a trans woman?
The other side, you mean? The people that are pushing all this?
Yeah.
Oh, that are, I am, for all intents and purposes, a woman because I've said so.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
and
how did we not figure that out ourselves?
Right? And even if I still have a penis, right, I am absolutely a woman. And some young academics in particular have tried to draw Venn diagrams where they put trans women into the woman category.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no. They're men.
So what would their definition of a woman be? That seems to be a real problem.
Well, that's like Supreme Court lady, remember? She, the Supreme Court nominee,
yeah, she
couldn't
said
figure
it totally
out.
Depends.
Yeah.
Anyone who identifies one, which is why Matt Walsh went off and did his little documentary on what's a woman, right?
Yeah.
That's where that came from, this exact muddling. And notice that look at the category that's being crowded here, right? I mean, there was a stupid, stupid health minister, I've forgotten his name, in Australia, who in the middle of last year, you know, somebody, the prime minister turned to him and said, well, what the hell is a woman? And he said, well, it's a very contested subject now.
Yeah.
Contested subject.
So what would they define a man as?
Anyone who says they are one, but that's not the space that's getting crowded.
Right.
Now, look, this calls to mind a Monty Python skit, doesn't it?
Like, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Life of Brian.
In a Monty Python world, a bunch of us women would put on Groucho Marx glasses, right? And, you know, and baseball hats and run around declaring that we were men, right? So that we could get access to, I don't know, golf courses, board meeting rooms, whatever it is that women want these days, right? So, you know, it feels like, why aren't a bunch of us women going, fine, screw it, I'll just be a man, you know, and just say that I'm one, and you just have to accept that I'm one, and you dare not question it. That isn't what's happening. The crowding is happening on the other side. They're all crowding into women.
Right.
They're crowding into women's prisons. I mean, my organization, Wolf, filed a lawsuit against the state of California, Department of Corrections, right, for allowing men into women's prisons, courtesy of Senator Scott Wiener and Senate Bill 132, right, passed in 2020. They are putting men in the women's prisons, and the women, just because a man says he would like to be a woman. Now, what freaking felon do you know that's been convicted wouldn't real much prefer to serve his time in a woman's facility?
Absolutely.
Actually,
yeah.
I get letters periodically, so, yeah, that is the thing.
Yeah, and talk about a victim that can't speak up for themselves, right? No one's going to listen to prison women. A lot of times we get asked, why aren't the feminists screaming? Why aren't the women screaming? Oh, we are. It's just no one's listening. No one cares. You can't get platforms, right? It's really difficult.
But there are a ton of women in the women's movement. I guess that's always been sort of my big question. Why aren't women fighting this, like with women's sports and all that stuff? It seems like the women, in large part, are the ones who are defending all this. It's like, doesn't this seem sort of counterintuitive?
You bring up a good question. I would say a couple things. First of all, as you and I both know, women are not some homogenous whole, right? It's not like we all go off and meet in secret, discuss women's issues, and decide what we're all going to tackle.
Now you're kind of blowing the secret there, Sharon. Don't tell them that. That's part of our mystique. They think we've got a secret clubhouse, but now there's men in it, so I guess it is blown. Never mind.
That's enough.
Let the
dogs
out.
I have a very excited dog here. When I start talking really loud, you think terrible things are happening. We don't actually go off and do that, right? So we don't go off and meet in secret and decide what we're going to tackle and what we don't. So here's what does happen. A bunch of us go about our lives and have no idea, right, because we're not in a situation where we're having that interaction. Who's having the interaction? That would be lesbians. Lesbians are who's finding out about this. Why are they finding about it? Because they go on their dating app, which would be supposedly full of women, because that's what lesbians are attracted to, right? There's other women. And they find a bunch of men there LARPing around in dresses, pretending to be women.
I never thought about
that. And then you tell them, you're going to love girl penis. It's going to be great.
Wow.
Right? And then the lesbians get pressured, and they're like, no, you're supposed to accept them as women. And you don't dare question it. And the lesbians are like, but I really actually like real women. Not allowed to say that.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I'm sure real women is not part of the game.
No. So that's who started having this problem first. That's who found this first, right? It was lesbians. They started getting that. Because, see, these men are actually straight men. They're not gay. So just because they put on a dress, guess what they're still attracted to? That would be women. So they call themselves transians.
They call themselves the what?
Transian. I'm a trans lesbian, darling.
Oh, transian. Okay.
Yeah. Because what do they want? They want women. Well, if you're LARPing as a woman, to get another woman, you're going to need to go for a lesbian. Right?
Oh.
A straight woman's not going to want to have
that's
sex.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Right?
It's a very confusing place.
Who started having the problem first.
Okay.
Them and the young kids, right? The young kids who were like, oh, gosh, I'm trans because, you know, like I'm still finding who I am and I'm developing. And in some way, identifying as trans for the young people is sort of like the latest wave of piercings, tattoos, and goth, right? It's a fad. It's the problem is this one's a bit deadly. You know, if you start taking the drugs and getting, you know, bits of you amputated, you can't just undo that. You can't, like, you can let a piercing close up. You can laser off a tattoo.
Right.
You can't grow your breast back or another penis.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
No.
So, and our medical industry is fully pushing it because each trans kid is worth about $800,000 to $1 million to the medical industry and the pharmaceutical industry, so they're all down for this.
Well, while we're speaking here, I was adding something that you and I chatted with yesterday afternoon to our page for people. I had, because I did have a lesbian call me that we had spoken about yesterday, called me at the office, and she was telling me that this was way back. This has been quite a few years ago. And she said that this whole transgender thing has no place in the... There shouldn't be LGBT. It should just be LGB. Because
that's right.
Lesbians are women who like other women, and they know what women are. Men are gay. And she told me no women are gay, so that was interesting. I didn't know that. And so she said men are gay, and they're attracted to other men, and they know what men are. And bisexuals just, you know, they kind of sleep with everybody. But she said that transgender people don't fit in that thing. And then she did the same thing I did to you yesterday. I'm like, you know, look up gender in the dictionary. And it's like, what? So I posted it. And I actually just, you know, everybody knows I'm old. So I had dictionaries from the 70s. And I went home and looked because I thought, the online dictionary, they fiddled with it. But no, still meant the same thing. A grammatical category often designated as male, female, or neuter, used in the classification of nouns, pronouns, adjectives, and in some languages, verbs, that might be arbitrary or based on characteristics. It's like, so gender is different than sex, which is defined as either of two divisions designated female or male, by which organisms are classified on the basis of their reproductive organs and functions. So gender and sex are not synonymous terms, and that's what we have been led to believe, and that's what we are told to believe, and how we are told to speak about this issue, that gender and sex are the same thing, and they are not. There might be multiple genders, but there are only two sexes. And that was her advice to me. She said, that is the response every time you get pinned in on this. There might be multiple genders because it's impossible to try to sort that out, but there are only two sexes. And it's like, wow, light bulb moment. And yet...
And where all this... That's yeah. right. Where all this is getting fought out in is the law, right?
Yeah.
You know, because you can... I mean, do whatever you want. You know, if you want to dress up in women's clothes and try to see your own home, who cares,
well,
right?
Yeah, you know, that's the kind of the thing. I mean, it makes us all sound like haters, but in real life, yeah, nobody really does care. You can kind of go do what you want as long as you're not hurting anybody.
Exactly. It's where you decide that now you're in a, and you start. You introduced me as someone who has, you know, human rights consulting background. That's true. And in all of the history of human rights, including the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that the UN signed in 1948, including the Magna Carta and all the documents around human rights, we don't ever start out with human rights by saying, right, what we're going to do is take some rights from one marginalized group and hand them to another. We never do that.
Yeah.
That's not how this works. But that is exactly the way trans rights has worked. So what we will do is take rights away from women, we'll take them from lesbians, we'll take them from gays, and we'll hand them to men in dresses. We've never done this before in the history of human rights. It's not, it's crazy. It's upside down. It's backwards. It's insane. And really it feels like what we've done is say, hey, everybody that's got kink and fetish, you're legit now. Not only are you legit, no one can even criticize you in the law. You can go, you can, by law, they can't criticize you. By law, they can't force you back into the men's room. And you can take them to court.
And you can go to, when, well, I mean, I'm not going to pose it as a question because the answer is too obvious, but we never allowed people to do things like that with children. Schools, libraries, all these things. And now, in the name of acceptance or inclusiveness or playing along or whatever we're supposed to be doing, you have to let kids be part of this whole thing.
Oh, my God. The medicalization, it's scandalous. It's absolutely scandalous. And we could spend a lot of time, we probably should spend a lot of time on what's going on with children. It's absolutely disgusting. But I will tell you that the marketing and the takeover of LGB by what I call spicy straight is almost done. Mm-hmm. The next, because, you know, they added about 45,000 initials to this, right? You know, and the Two-Spirit and all this stuff. You know, you go talk to Native American tribes, the Two-Spirit stuff is BS. It's white appropriation of Native American culture. Like, it's just absolutely
what's,
BS,
what's the
right?
Two-Spirit so, thing supposed to be?
Oh, it's this
sorry,
you
it's,
know,
it's
academic a... idea, right, by pretty much white kids, that Native American cultures have always had trans people, and they called them Two-Spirit, that they weren't properly male or female, and that they were given special roles in society because they weren't properly male or female. Go ask Cherokees, you know, go visit some Indian reservations and find out how far that Two-Spirit theory goes. They usually call this white appropriation, right?
Yeah,
totally
made
culture.
Up.
Yeah, it's totally made up. It's BS, and it's justified. It's a way to justify this. They stuck questioning in there. They stuck all kind. You know, like the LGB acronym has been expanded to about 26 letters, right? Like, can't say anything else in there. But the one
and the
to
pluses
watch.
And the minuses and the
the one to watch. So again, most of these people are just spicy straight. That's all they are, or they're people who are young people in particular that really have not figured out who they are and are trying to declare themselves some kind of cool identity to identify out of being in the oppressor classes and the colonizer classes, right? Because that's bad. You know, to be an oppressor and a colonizer these days is very, 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 very bad. It'd be better to be in some oppressed minority. Well, they've declared one for you. It's called trans and non-binary. So just say that you're that. And then you're over the wall and out of being in this, you know, terrible colonizer status. But the one to watch for, the acronym that you need to watch for, is MAP. Have you heard this one yet?
MAP?
MAP.
Huh. Okay. No? Okay. What is that?
They're on certain trans sort of talk shows and news articles and what have you. There is a push now to legitimize minor attracted persons as protected class.
Yeah.
Yeah, which would be pedophiles.
Yeah, good straight old pedophiles, right? That, yeah. We know those guys, right?
Yeah.
Now a special category human being that deserves protection because they're so oppressed. And they're trying to work bestiality in there, and it's awful. It's just awful. And you kind of see it, again, if you watch what the state houses are doing across the country, you start to see how this is infiltrating. That you probably noticed there have been moves in several state houses to lower the age of consent, including in California,
right?
Scott Wiener, you know, lower the age of consent here, right? That there's moves to lower the age of consent. There's moves to weaken, you know, child porn and pedophilia, you know, punishment. Right? There's moves to do that. Who's pushing that? Who's pushing that? You got to really pay attention to that, because when I first saw minor attracted persons coming out, I was like, oh, you have to be freaking kidding me. And a lot of LGB folks have really started screaming from the rooftop. Again, no one's listening, right, you know, to them, but because they tend to, you know how this works, you move in kind of your circles that you move in.
Sure.
So you might be screaming very loudly within your own circle, but maybe a bunch of guys having a beer at the sports hall don't hear you at all, right? They've never heard of you. They're not likely to hear this. You know what I mean? You're just not moving in the same social circles.
Yeah.
This stuff gets heard. And we have siloed media these days. So if you read leftist media, this is all pro-trans all day. If you read rightist media, it's all, what the heck is this crap, right? Like, it's very siloed.
So you're saying that the MAP movement is being promoted and pushed by the trans movement?
Yeah. And again, trans is not LGB, right? Trans
right.
is spicy straight.
Right.
You know, and so what they're doing is they're trying to shove a lot of stuff up under this sort of trans umbrella and give it protected class status.
And is this where all the what do they call it, the cross-dressing shows in schools? And
the drag thing?
Is
that different? The drag thing's different, though, isn't it? They don't think
I don't
they're...
think so.
Do they think they're women, or don't they think they're just men dressing up?
They are men just dressing up, but why do you need to do that for two-year-olds?
Well, no,
right.
That aside, though,
we used to go to bars for that, Aaron. Remember that? Like, we used to actually pay to go see drag shows in bars. Remember how we used to do that?
No. Like, I never did. I told you there was some guy in a class in college that had breasts and still the gear that was really a topic of conversation because we were, you know, at 17, and it's like, is that a, can you do that? What is
She's probably
that?
The wrong person to ask about that because she grew up 20 miles from Woodstock
50,
and didn't know it happened
50.
Until she...
I was in college.
Was in college.
Yeah,
so,
I missed it, and I was right
very
there.
Very sheltered. I've tried to cure her.
Hey, you know what? Catholic school in Connecticut, the nuns were not really into this kind of stuff, which was really great.
Well, I'm not surprised. Back then.
Yeah, the nuns were pretty...
They'd rip your dress off in a heartbeat.
The nuns were teaching us English and stuff, and they played basketball, and they were fun. Actually, the nuns were super fun.
And there were no trans people.
I grew up in Atlanta, and I lived in Dallas for a while, and neither of those were exactly, you know, beacons of the gay community, right? Not exactly, you know, like wildly welcoming to gays. And
yeah.
We always went to drag shows at the bars. I mean, they were a hoot. You know, a bunch of girlfriends would go, my boyfriend would go, like... They were entertainment, but they were adults. Kind of like you used to have to ask the guy at the counter for the porn mag, right? Remember those days, too?
Yeah, I guess I missed that, too. I really didn't get out that much. I guess that's why...
Do you think the drag queen thing was like the kind of the front runner how all this kind of got started?
No, I think it's part of the same crowd, same movement, right?
They just found wider access.
Yeah.
And legitimacy, actually.
Normalized kink, right?
Wow.
I mean, it's kink and fetish used to be something that you sort of had to go to special districts to go visit, right?
Right, yeah, because it was considered, like, not...
It wasn't mainstream.
Right? Not ready for prime time, as they say.
Yeah, and you had to be of a certain age to go access them, too. Remember those days? I mean, like, even if you went to the red light district in Amsterdam, right, you're not taking your toddler in. Do you know what I mean? Like,
do they have rules about that? They have age?
Or, yeah.
I thought it was kind of everything goes. No?
Everything does go in Holland, but, you know, the Dutch are a little prim about some of this stuff, right?
Huh.
So, I mean, like, no, you don't drag children through the red light district.
Well, that's good to know.
So, It's very good to know. But you can go see shows. You can do all kinds of. I mean, this is for, you know, anywhere in New Orleans, right there.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You got all that going on.
Tons of Triplex clubs in New York, you know, back in the Times Square days when it was a bit of a seedy place, right? So we used to have to go and go somewhere else to access kink and fetish, right? We used to have to do that.
And now we're just dragging it right into the elementary school and the library. We have to take a really quick break so you can examine your misspent youth. Everybody out there's like, did I do that? Yeah, you know, I don't know. I just didn't live in places that really had that kind of accent. Maybe it did. I don't know.
Yeah.
I need to make some phone calls. I've got to find out what else I missed while I was growing up. I don't know. It's terrible. I was busy. We're going to be back with our guest, Sharon Burton. This is this was worth waiting for. Because, like, last week, you know, we said, this is going to be great. So, got to tell you, so far it's been 40 minutes. We haven't lied yet. We'll be back. We've got Sharon as our hostage for the next hour, too. We've taken away her phone so she can't call 911. No emergency room trips today. We will be right back. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Who's to say I can't do everything? Well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I'll find with everyone.
Where are we going to go now that we've gone too far? I mean, honestly, all joke. Well, I guess we can still joke because I have a coworker who sends a few of us the gender of the week. And we've been doing that for, I'm going to say, 2 years. And there are still more. Week he sends us the flag, a flag and the definition of the new gender of the week. It's like, who's churning these out?
People with way too much time on their hands, right? You almost sort of miss war.
it's just crazy to me. Like, it just never ends.
No.
And I think people who were kind of, I don't know, people don't like to be, you know, most people are not haters, you know, so they see all this stuff, they're like, I don't get it, I don't want to be part of it, I don't like it. But, you know, hey, everybody has their thing, and, well, as long as you're not, you know, at my library, that's kind of where people got involved. But, I mean, most people are like, okay, do it, you know, just could you keep it to yourself? And they try not to be bad about it, but it's gotten to the point where it's like, all right, this is crazy. Now you have all the boys in girls' sports. I was an athlete all through college, and there's no way we could have had college-age men on the basketball team, and we could have still been able to compete. I remember we played Amador in the North Coast or in the sectional finals, I guess it was, when I was in high school. We went down there, and at that time, there wasn't such a thing as, you know, men dressing as women, as far as we knew. And these girls were like Russian weightlifters. It was unbelievable. They were like 6 feet tall. They pounded us. We were like a bunch of 10-year-olds. They just clubbed us like baby seals and sent us back home. It was brutal. And I'm like, they were girls, I think. But now you could have boys doing that. Like that, how do we get out of that?
Oh, that to me is one of the most heinous. Again, you know, you were asking earlier, why doesn't everybody scream about this?
Yeah.
Why doesn't everybody know? Okay, so it's you know, reminds of a line from The Princess Bride, right? It's to the pain.
To the pain.
Where's the pain, right?
Yeah.
So where are you experiencing, who's experiencing it and where do they experience it? Well, we just talked about women's prisons, right? That when you put men in women's prisons behind bars, again, who's going to listen to a bunch of women behind bars screaming, right? No one. No one cares. You know, I do, obviously, but, you know, the average American is not sitting around wondering, what's going on with those women behind bars anyway, right? Like, to go check on that, right? Nobody does. So, you know, it's very hard for that group of women to raise their voices and go, hey, this is unfair, we're getting raped in here. And when I've spoken to people about it, including my former state senator, you know, her answer was, well, the guards have always been doing that. Excuses.
Oh, okay, well, that makes it all okay.
Right? Excuses nothing,
what?
Right? And it's so, I think that, you know, that sort of, that's terrible. Where's the next pain? The girls in sports and women's sports. Yes, that's who found it next. All of a sudden they show up in the locker room and, hey, there's a 6-foot guy in there who says his name is Gina, you know, and he's decided he's going to undress in front of you and then he's going to be watching you and he's going to compete with you, against you, right? That all of this is now legit and legal not because any laws got passed, by the way. Sports organizations, right, got a tons of pressure.
Yeah, and started allowing it.
Yeah, and they were like, okay, we got to let them in, we got to let them play. And I think they thought this was some numerical species of third human, right? And so they, you know, let them in. Again, you don't see this, right? You don't see a bunch of women queuing up, you know, with their hair shorn, going, I can't wait to get into that male boxing ring, right? I can't wait to get onto that male hockey team. I can't wait to get onto the male football team. Why? Because they're going to get their butt creamed, right? Like, my dad is a rugby player. He'd tell you right out, you know, any bloke playing against a woman is going to slaughter her on the field.
Well,
like,
yeah, and now that, you know, speaking of that, there was an article here just the other day about a trans woman in boxing and was just cleaning up. And it's like, why is that? That is so insane to put a man in a boxing ring with a woman. What do they think is going to happen?
I think, first of all, you've got to start getting control of the language. Do not say the word trans woman. There is no such thing.
Absolutely.
You see how they've made you, like, you have to, like, it will hurt your brain to think about this. You have to sit there and go, a trans woman is actually a man in a dress that says he's a woman. So what they're trying to do is make you make the jump to that's a woman. You see?
Right.
No, you have to go the other direction, which is, I'm sorry, that's a trans-identified male. That's what that is, right? That's what we call TIMS, right? That's a trans-identified male. That is a sex faker. We're all a bunch of sex realists. That's a sex faker pretending to be a woman. Here's a story out this morning, right, that yesterday, a transgender golfer, and watch how the news media frames this, transgender golfer.
Yes.
Haley Davidson, who's a bloody great, you know, bloke, right? He's a huge bloke, right? She's won, but it's a he, has won the next women's classic at Mission and Resort and Club near Orlando, Florida. Somebody better call Governor DeSantis. Yes, somebody just, a guy just won a women's tournament, golf tournament. He's now going to join the Ladies Epson Tour after he takes one of the 5 women's spots on that tour. So it's a man taking a woman's spot, not some trans woman. There's no such thing as a trans woman. It's a myth. It's a lie. It's a unicorn. It's a man who's pretending to be a woman and who is taking women's spots.
And I got to tell you, I've seen the pictures, and he looks like a man. And I mean, you take one look at him, and it's like, dude, you're a man in a woman's skirt. It's
and as little as 10 years ago, wouldn't men have pounded a guy like that for doing that?
Well, that's kind of the thing that, you know, you wouldn't even think about doing something like that because...
Yeah, it wouldn't be healthy.
Well, back to our high school youth where I missed all the things that apparently you'd learned about. Even Bill, actually, you all learned about that. But even then, I mean, you wouldn't... You know, I mean, you wouldn't wear girls' gym clothes. You wouldn't do any of those things. So what self-respecting guy wants to be in the girls' locker room? Well,
and what other self-respecting guys stand there and say nothing about that, right? Like, one of the groups that we're seeing get angry about this is parents, right? Parents are getting pissed about it, rightfully so. You would hope that the sports-loving dads watching their little, you know, princesses have to compete against some, you know, towering blokes that's going to pummel them would start speaking up and screaming. Now, you do get yelled at for this. You know, it's wrong think. Remember that. It's wrong think, right? But, again, look at the mental gymnastics that we just went through where it's like a transgender woman. So what are you automatically thinking? You're thinking that's a female, are you not?
Well, yeah, because it's kind of like yes means no and no means yes in this. And so a lot of it is backwards.
Yeah.
So exactly. It kind of catches me because it's like, wait, is that the backwards one or is that what it sounds like? Because.
No, so then you were also asking how come is it that some women support this? I've actually watched friends of mine.
You actually did the what?
Well, I've watched friends of mine, female friends of mine, hurt their brains trying to make this make sense. They've like, you can watch them. Literally, you can see, like, the gear wheels smashing in there, right? I'm like, I can't make this work, right? But they've sort of tried to do it because they've been told that if you're not being inclusive, you're a bigot.
Right.
And if you're a bigot, then you get exiled to social Siberia. Nobody wants to have anything to do with you, right? See how this works?
Yeah, see, and it's only, it's those evil right-wing, evangelical, conservative... add the rest of it on there. They just hate it because they're Bible thumpers. And it's like, well, no. Actually, there should be a lot more people, like people who are parents. Anybody who's ever, any girl who has ever competed in sports knows they can't compete with boys. So all of that Title IX thing and the fact that, you know, we were, at 60, whatever I am, I forget again, two or three, 60-something, that was just, we were kind of at the front end of being able to have our own practice time, being able to utilize the different fields, like for track and stuff like that, because the boys' team always got precedent. It was all about them. And then they started to have to kind of be fair about it. But we weren't the draw, right? Football was the draw. That was how the school made money. And so we were sort of relegated to the, you know, like I laugh at college, you know, like the bus we took was like this school bus that I think they used on, the Flying Nun, right? That old school bus they drove around. it was like that one. Because the boys had like this really big, nice bus. So, there were a lot of things, obviously we weren't harmed and I'm not damaged and I'm not in therapy for that, but there were inequities at that time that hadn't caught up with girl sports and boy sports both have meaning. And now, my gosh, I'm not even eligible for Social Security and that's all been thrown out the window? How did that happen? It's not a very long time period.
No, it's very quick. It's very, very fast. And I would tell you that the women in the UK have fought this extremely hard. In fact, we're all called TERFs. Have you heard that term?
We're all called the what?
TERFs.
No? How do you spell it?
You haven't heard this term?
No.
You have never heard it?
No, I don't think. How do you spell it?
TERF. It's a slur. Oh. Much like Karen is a slur, right?
Okay.
And it stands for trans exclusionary radical feminist.
Oh, wow.
Trans exclusionary feminist. Oh, we're TERFs.
Yeah.
I was thinking serfs. I guess that's different. That's what the government sees it as.
Yeah. So trans exclusionary radical feminist is one of those academic made-up terms, right? And, you know, I got hit with it a few times on Twitter. I'm like, what the hell is that? So radical feminists are the one feminist group that absolutely does not ascribe to this transgender crap. They're like, no, this is all BS. This is a new patriarchy, guys. This is men in dresses finding other ways to oppress women just by being them, right?
Yeah, right.
There's no better way to take over than be them.
Yeah, they had to develop a whole new class just for you. You're out there raising Cain, and now look.
All right, we got to go.
Right?
We'll be right back. We're going to talk to Sharon next hour. There's like so much. I got to go look up TERFs. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Body and soul, then it's just your body.